T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
It is 8:15 now, Friday morning, January 21st. I don't know if there's still a chance of any wintry mix or not now that the temperature has gone up, but 39 is going to be the high today, and then a hard freeze on the North Shore tonight and tomorrow night with temperatures in the mid-20s. On the South Shore, not so much, just 32, a very light freeze, and it's going to be cold over the weekend with highs 48 degrees tomorrow, and 54 on Sunday after that cold start, and by the time it warms up, it's going to be getting dark again. So we're in for some cool weather, which is good for this time of year. I kind of like it. Right now, if you look at the temperatures around the area, let's see, we got Slidell, 34 degrees, Kenner, 35, 34 in Houma, and here in Belchase, it is 34 degrees. We're joined now by Brian Brocks. I'm sorry, I had a paper mess up here. Brian Brocks, Associate Professor and Director of U.S. Public Policy at Tulane. How are you, Professor? Good morning, and thank you for joining us.
Good morning. It's good to be with you.
Let's talk about the first year of Joe Biden's presidency. Where do his numbers stand with approval rating as did other presidents at this point in their administrations?
They're relatively lower. He came into office with fairly strong approval ratings, obviously not universal, and there's quite a bit of partisan polarization. But over the course of the summer, particularly kind of the turning point was the withdrawal from Afghanistan, his numbers started to decline. So he is in a much tougher position than many of his recent predecessors, though in a somewhat similar position to where Trump was at this time.
I watched the press conference. I don't know if you saw it or not. Two hours plus, I think it was, that he took questions. A big difference in style between him and Donald Trump, where Joe Biden seems like he understands that every word he says, the president traditionally carries a lot of weight, be it stock market, foreign affairs, et cetera, and we'll get into that in a minute. Pardon me. President Trump, not so much. He just kind of shot from the hip. Did President Biden do himself any favors, you think, with the two-hour press conference, or would that be better done in small doses, or at least traditionally as it relates to presidents and press conferences?
I'm not sure that it's going to affect things much one way or the other. I don't think that he helped himself a bunch. I don't think that he hurt himself a bunch on this. I do think that the fact that he held it indicates a recognition on the party administration that their current messaging strategy perhaps isn't working. I think that they recognize that they're going into a midterm election year. There are a lot of challenges that he had hoped to have tackled and finished by now, but that are still on the table. And I think that he recognizes that he, as the president, is the first and most important communicator. And that two-hour press conference indicates that he wants to light a fire under his administration, light a fire under Congress, and try to get some things done leading into the November elections.
He said at one point in a press conference, and he turned some questions around on the reporters, and he said, name me one president that has accomplished as much as we have in our first year. And what's interesting is if you look at that from the Republican side of it, if they say he hasn't accomplished anything, well, then the Republicans really got nothing to criticize. Or if they criticize what he's done, then that's saying that he accomplished things, they just didn't like it. So where does the truth stand in terms of the Biden administration thus far and accomplishments?
It's really kind of a mixed bag. he has accomplished some things. People forget that nearly a year ago he signed a large COVID relief bill into law. That turned out to be relatively popular in terms of public opinion. Overall, again, many Republicans didn't like that, but he also passed the infrastructure bill, and we're starting to see payouts on that come through, so perhaps some shovels will be hitting the ground soon on that. Perhaps a little bit more in terms of inside politics, but he's also managed to get confirmed a number of judges. Not obviously he hasn't had a Supreme Court appointment yet, but he's got a number of federal district judges appointed and confirmed by the Senate. So he's been busy. He's been getting work done. So perhaps a lot of this work has been behind the scenes, and he has those two signature legislative accomplishments. On the other hand, the things that are at the top of public concern right now, essentially the COVID pandemic and then obviously the broader economy, things are not working out as well as he would have hoped. And so he's certainly not solved those issues. And he's, I'm sure, hopes that he would have done better. And he's certainly opened himself up to criticism from Republicans for not more thoroughly addressing COVID and getting past this pandemic, as well as dealing with the economy. There are some economic numbers that are objectively pretty good, but a lot of people are worried about inflation. So his economic record is again, a mixed bag.
We'll pick it up there when we come back. We're talking to Professor Brian Box, an associate professor and director of U.S. public policy at Tulane. And two texts come in. I'll give you an example of some of the things I'm getting. One of them says Joe Biden gets an FFF-. Another one says it's going to take quite a while to clean up the mess Donald Trump made. I give him a C+. Opposite ends of the spectrum. 8:21, time for traffic now, WWL. 8:25, Tommy Tucker, WWL, on this chilly Friday morning, talking to Brian Box, associate professor and director of U.S. public policy at Tulane, as we talk about President Biden's first year in office. Somebody texted in and said, the major difference in Trump and Biden press conferences is that Joe Biden is handed nothing but softball questions by the media. Well, I don't know if that person saw the press conference or not, but at one point, I forgot the media outlet, but he stood up and he said, Professor, I don't know if you saw it, but he prefaced the question with all due respect, which means at that point, it's about to get terribly ugly, right? And he talked about the president's cognitive ability and so forth and polls. Is there a serious doubt as to the president's cognitive ability in the country, or is that just a reporter with a conservative outlet trying to make a statement?
I haven't seen any evidence of cognitive decline. I think that that is something that is brought up by critics. And I believe that the press would be all over that if that was a serious concern. Even though, you know, the mainstream or the quote unquote liberal press, that would be a major story. So until that we have actual medical evidence of something going on, I think that this is mostly kind of an expressive viewpoint that isn't really rooted in a problem for society.
And I brought that up because I just wondered, in terms of press conferences and the media and relationships with presidents and one side trying to get the other, is that a concern to you going forward about polarization with the media and coverage of a presidency and what that could mean, either in terms of elections or the efficiency or at least the actions that a president can accomplish?
Absolutely, that is a concern, but I would point out to your listeners, this is not a new concern. This is one thing where Republican and Democratic presidents agree, which is that they're being untreated fairly by the press, and this goes back decades. And there has been a consistent tension between administrations and how they perceive their treatment from the press. You can go back to Nixon and Johnson and see evidence of these tensions. So every president feels like they're getting mistreated, mostly because they want a repetitive message that emphasizes their policies and their accomplishments. And the press are looking for new news stories that indicate tension, conflict, negativity. Now we just see an alignment between certain presses being much more critical depending on the party of the president. So this has been a decades-long concern. We just see a better alignment of certain presses being more or less critical depending on the party of the president.
You know, that's a great point. Going back to, you won't have Dick Nixon to kick around anymore, right? Was that the Checkers speech, I think?
Yeah.
Or maybe I'm conflating the two. Quickly, when it comes to the midterms and the president's influence on those, the president said that he had a lot of candidates asking them to campaign for him. Does the president have coattails when it comes to the midterms and when it relates, as it relates to the economy? I think like a quarterback for a football team, a president sometimes gets far too much credit and too much blame for the economy. Your thoughts on all of that, Professor?
Yeah, a lot to unpack there. On the economy, absolutely. I think your analogy is correct, that the actual tools that the president can use without the help of Congress to directly influence the economy are limited. So while that might be true in terms of presidential power, it's clear that the public perceives the president to have much more influence over the economy. And so many times economic perceptions end up getting folded into judgments about the president, whether that's good or bad. It, you know, remains to be seen as to whether the economy will improve over the spring and the summer, and that might help President Biden and Democrats going into the midterms. If things continue to languish or if inflation remains high, that would certainly be problematic come November. Generally speaking, the midterms are tough for incumbent presidents for a couple of reasons. One, and this is not what our founding fathers intended, but the presidency is clearly the focus of our attention at the national government. Founders preferred that Congress be kind of the prime focus of our attention. But in modern television age, we pay attention to the presidency. And so what the president does is what's on everybody's mind. And so they're going to judge the general political system based on whether the president's doing a good job or not so good a job. The other thing is that presidents tend to come into office in presidential election years, and that's when they're more likely to have coattails, okay? There's a surge of turnout, and that surge of turnout typically helps a president to win, and then certain marginal voters sit out the midterms. So the people that are very much opposed to a president, this works for both parties.
Thank you, Professor. I appreciate your time. A lot to unpack there, and we'll have you back on, Professor Brian Brox, Associate Professor, Director at U.S. Public Policy at Tulane. Time now, WWL First News.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.